Welcome to Science in Your Shopping Cart, a new series that shows how science touches many of the products you buy at the grocery store, from new varieties of fruits and vegetables to technological advances that make your food safer, cheaper, and tastier. I'm Todd Silver. Plants are amazing resources for both life and our precious environment. It's no surprise that most of our food comes from plants, or that many of our modern medicines are derived from plants. Plants are also key ingredients for fuels, clothing, and shelter. But did you know that plants are used for producing tires, or that natural herbs found in your garden are excellent bug repellents? Today we're going to look at some pretty amazing plants, or as I like to call them, wonder plants. No cape needed for these super greens. We start our journey just outside our nation's capital at the U.S. Arboretum. Over 400 acres of plants and gardens to visit.
And in that 446 acres, we have lots of different kinds of gardens. We have a world-class bonsai museum. We're in the National Herb Garden, conifers, native plants, azaleas. So there's pretty much something for everyone if you like gardening. So if you like color, palettes, you like textures, things like that. If you're a regular homeowner, I think you can get ideas on what you can do in your yard. So I would recommend for people to come and check us out.
I toured the Arboretum with Christine Moore, who's a horticulturist here. Christine's like a walking encyclopedia, or in these days, Wikipedia, when it comes to plants. The National Herb Garden has over 800 different kinds of plants, from corn to coffee, even Tabasco plants for those who like a little spice on their food. They even grow some plants that the rest of us would consider weeds.
One of the things I like about this garden so much is the plant diversity here. We grow everything from trees down to aquatics. And in that span, you can cover an awful lot of material on how plants are used around the world.
Take the chicory plant, for example. This purple flowering plant is probably known more as a ditch weed because you often see it in the grassy medians down highways. However, chicory has quite a history, especially for you Civil War buffs.
During the Civil War, the North was not able to get tobacco because it was cut off from the South, and the South was not able to get coffee from the North. Coffee was the main distribution center was in New York City. So you had these two sides of, the war going on, and they, people forget that the soldiers are still people too, and whatever conflict is going on in the government level, that doesn't mean that these people don't like each other necessarily. They could be sitting on, opposite sides of a battle line, but playing games with each other or something. So, the guys on one side have tobacco, the other guys don't. They'd really like it. The other ones have coffee. So they would trade things when they could. But in the absence of coffee, a lot of the soldiers would use chicory as a coffee substitute. So if you go to New Orleans, you'll often come across the Café du Monde. That's a big time, well-known place. And their coffee that they make there is made out of chicory.
You think you need your coffee before going to work? Well, these soldiers definitely needed their coffee before heading off to battle. So much so that one Civil War entrepreneur actually built a coffee grinder into the stock of his rifle.
So it was sort of like almost like a Swiss Army knife type little thing that they could carry with them. So if you could get your coffee beans, you could just open this little hatch on the side of your gun, throw in some coffee beans and just grind away. And then you could brew your coffee out on the battlefield. I just find that one of the most interesting stories about two plants, their relationships, the chicory and the coffee, and how they had an impact on just the everyday guy during the Civil War.
The coffee plant is well known for, coffee. But did you know the red coating on the outside of the bean is actually used for tea in some countries? And by the way, that's not actually a bean, but rather a seed. It can also be used as a dye. Did you know that caffeine can be removed from coffee and actually used in other products, such as cough syrup? We can go on and on about coffee. In fact, coffee could have its own podcast. Note to self. Well, let's head over to the industrial garden to learn about more wonder plants. Such as cotton.
Cotton is extremely important the world over. Most people are used to white fibered cotton, but they also make a green fiber or lint cotton and brown. And what's nice about those different colored lengths or fibers from the cotton is that the color is color fast. So you've got a green t-shirt, a brown t-shirt, what have you, and the color is not going to fade like it would if you had synthetic dyes on there. Other than used for your typical cotton clothing or cotton balls or, you know, Q-tips type thing like that, cotton has also been used in the past for making cellulose for movie films. Now we do things digitally, but if you're old enough to remember putting the film wheel on or film strips in school and things like that, the cellulose that comes from those fibers is what made that film strip there. It also makes cling wrap, so the stuff that you use to wrap up your food, that again made from cellulose, comes from plants like cotton. And not only the fiber type thing, but you can also recycle a lot of the fibers and use it as housing insulation. So some of the more environmentally friendly type companies will take old clothing that people aren't using, shred them up again in fibers, and then put them into fiberglass insulation, and they can use that in housing. And it's actually got a lot of good flame retardant abilities to it.
As we'll learn later in the podcast, cotton is a super strong material and it has a lot of healing benefits. Processing cotton typically involves bleaching it, cleaning it repeatedly, and then stretching and brushing the fibers over and over until it becomes soft and smooth. The downside of this process is you lose some of the natural properties of the fiber and the cellulose. ARS researchers are looking at the properties of raw cotton fibers, which don't go through this process, to promote wound healing.
What they're finding is that it's really good for wound dressings for blood clotting, more so than a regular Band-Aid. And because of those increased capabilities for staunching wounds, they're looking at it for a lot of other industries like either military or first responders, things like that, where you might need immediate aid to staunch a massive wound on somebody. And regular cotton doesn't do as good a job as this new fabric does that actually retains some of its natural properties in the fiber.
Cotton has many other uses as well, including using its seed oil as a lubricant for car engines or factory machines.
To me, this is a plant that deserves the title of wonder plant because it does so many different things for thousands of years.
The industrial garden is a treasure trove for wonder plants, such as corn, sugar, and soy. Although not present in the garden, hemp is a wonder plant that's being rediscovered as a major commodity because of its diversity, not only in clothing and textiles, but for so many industrial uses.
Thomas Jefferson was the one that said, everybody should be growing hemp because it has such great virtues, whether it's a fiber, you know, or used for cordage, and it grows fast, it's stronger than cotton. So even for marine uses, you know, whether you're talking big ships, you know, yachts or something, using it to tie in, or your little boat or what have you, it just lasts so much longer when exposed to the elements. It's sad that for a long time it was sort of stigmatized, but now I think we're starting to recapture what Jefferson knew about this plant.
Okay, we're moving along now to the dye garden and taking a look at the mullein plant. This looks like a weed in your garden. It has low hanging leaves and sprouts up thin and tall, almost like a corn stalk. But it's strong. Strong enough that European colonists would dip the ends of the plant in wax and use it as a torch. The fuzzy leaves were used as bandaging material. So what's this plant or weed doing in the dye garden?
It's here in the dye garden because various parts are used to dye fabrics, but it's also used medicinally and the whole plant can be used from the flowers down to the roots. The flowers are really anti-inflammatory and are often used to make an ear oil for ear infections. It's combined with like olive oil and garlic, which is also very antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory as a good like ear combo for infections. The leaves are used in teas for if you have a bad cough. It helps to soothe the cough. I love weeds that you can use all the parts of. And the fact that they're weedy and they just grow everywhere is amazing to me. It's just like medicine that you can go out and pick and don't have to worry about it. And nothing goes to waste.
That's Aaron Holden, a horticulturist at the Arboretum and resident medicinal plant expert on herbs. Make sure you check out our Facebook premiere, where Aaron takes questions about all the amazing remedies that come from herbs you can grow in your garden. But today we're talking about your non-traditional uses for plants. And for our next plant, we're moving on to the colonial garden,
This is Salvia scleria, or clary sage. We're in the colonial garden, but I'm going to talk more about its industrial uses, and it's something I just learned about relatively recently. It's got a really fascinating backstory to it. One of my professors from herb school sent me a picture of hundreds of acres of clary sage in some rural area in North Carolina, and she had no idea what this thing was, so she asked me if I might have any idea. We pinpointed that it was clary sage, and she was like, why is this random place in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina growing hundreds of acres of clary sage? So that kind of inspired us to do a little bit more digging.
Aaron learned that back in the 60s, a large tobacco company was anticipating a shortage of Oriental tobacco, which was added to their cigarette blends. They found that clary sage had similar properties, and they began planting hundreds of acres of this perennial plant near one of their tobacco factories in North Carolina. It turns out the shortage of Oriental tobacco never happened, and after a few years, the company shut down the factory and abandoned the clary sage fields.
And then a few other things kind of popped up that spurred the industry along. The perfume industry was looking for an alternative to ambergris, which is made in the GI tract of sperm whales. It's like a fixative in the perfume industry, but they outlawed it in the US because it was not sustainable, it was dangerous for the sperm whales, for people harvesting it. So the perfume industry was looking for an alternative for that in the 70s, and then coupled with the kind of detergent agency looking for alternatives to phosphates in their products. And so they switched to an enzyme-based solution, which cleans clothes really well, but it makes them smell kind of gross. So they're trying to find ways to add fragrance to them and have the fragrance last. Enter clary sage again. It was kind of a perfect storm of things. So what they discovered is clary sage contains an extract called scleriol, and then you process that a little bit further to scleriolide, and that causes fragrances to linger for days on end. So it's used in a lot of detergents and dryer sheets and things like that to keep your clothes smelling really nice for a really long time. And it's also used in the perfume industry for the same reason. So when you put on a perfume, it doesn't just volatilize and go away after a few minutes. It kind of sticks to your skin.
Today, clary sage is distributed around the world for its long-lasting fragrant qualities. And much of it is still grown in those North Carolina fields where it once was thought to be a substitute for Oriental tobacco. Just a tip if you're thinking of growing clary sage at home, the plant itself can have a rather unpleasant odor, so you may need some of those fragrant dryer sheets to mask the smell. Let's move on.